We hope you enjoy the following presentation of The Cycles of Life, Part 2 by Dane Rudyar. This recording is 25 minutes long. This audio is brought to you by RITA, the Rudyar Institute for Transpersonal Activity, a nonprofit public benefit corporation dedicated to disseminating the work and essential message of Dane Rudyar. All material is copyrighted by Leila Rudyar Hill. If you'd like to learn more about RITA, or make a donation towards supporting the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudyar, visit www.rudyarinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudyar, visit www.rudyaraudioarchives.com. And now, Dane Rudyar.
And all those forces become integrated, as it were, in the total person in the sign Cancer. In Leo, what is integrated there as a person or in a home or something like that, in a foundation of solidity, express itself, release itself, release its energies, and you have the creative force of the Leo type, artist, dramatist, show off in some respect, who tries to release quite unconcerned with what the result would be on that on which he releases those energies. And those energies released usually cause trouble because you are not the only individual in the world, and so you get reaction from other individuals. You fail in doing the things that you wanted to do exactly, and also in Virgo you have the process of experiencing training, retraining, pain. Service to a being who can teach you how better to express yourself and so on. Then you reach in Libra, you see the equinox there again, and there you have the beginning really of the collective life of humanity, the communal principle. In Libra you have any sort of type of activity which is aiming at the beginning of building a community, a state, a culture. You see, therefore, the arts coming together, the ability to bring people together as groups, and so on and so forth. What is purely action in Libra becomes more deeply set into the emotional life in Scorpio, which has not so much to do with sex, as certainly not as a procreative force, but sex only in the sense that it is through sex that it is the simplest, most primitive way of two human beings of different sex, or maybe the same sex, to experience deeply each other in the very roots of their being. But Scorpio refers just as much to rituals, to the mass in the church, to common dances, tribal dances, sports like baseball or games and so on, anything which try to make a group of people feel at one in the very depths of their emotional life, you see. Then in Scorpio, in Sagittarius, you have the beginning of the type of thinking which is based on collective factors. So you learn the laws of society, the laws of association, and you reach thereby Capricorn, which is the winter solstice, where the night force is at its very apex. And you have there the state, or all sorts of institutions which are permanent and which have crystallized, which have established themselves, just as in Cancer, the individual personality has established or stabilized itself as a person. The community in Capricorn stabilizes itself as a state, as a nation, as a tribe, or whatever level you want to put it. Then, at that time, because the night force has reached its apex, immediately the day force begins to arouse itself again, and as the night force decreases, the day force begins to increase. And you have there the winter months, you have not only Capricorn, but then out of that Aquarius and Pisces. In Aquarius you have the fact that any institution, any form, structural principle of building a community or a state is never perfect. It's always limiting, and therefore it must be reformed, but also it expresses itself. And in Aquarius you have both the enjoyment of social classes or social relationship, but you have also the tendency to change it, to reform it. You have the rebels, you have the iconoclasts who are trying to build new kind of activities and new world. And in Pisces, you have then the dissolution of the past, the attempt to dissipate the ghost of the past, to create that sort of prenatal inchoate condition out of which perhaps a new cycle will be born as you start with Aries again. So you have those two forces, the force which is trying to make individual whole, self-sufficient, relatively self-depending and self-reliant, and you have the force of collectivation which is trying to make out of those individuals, to bind them into communities and into stable organization. Now, there are two important points at the time or during that year cycle, which are the equinoxes, because it is during those times that the two forces are balanced, are equalized. And if you believe, as I do, that the whole universe is really a dynamic harmony of opposites, then those moments where there is harmony, where there is the balancing of those two opposite forces, are in a certain sense the high points of the years. Of course, they last only a fragment of a second or an hour or so, because then immediately one force begins to predominate. In the spring, it is the day force. In the beginning of the fall, it is the night force. But at those moments where they are equal, those are, as I said, in a sense, the two sacred creative points of the life cycle of the year, because everything then is balanced, and therefore out of that balance something can emerge, which is what I call the creative or spirit in the real sense of pure creativity, because it is only as those two forces are completely balanced, as it were, that out of that polarization something else emerges, which is beyond the opposites, and which then to reestablish a new direction, a new mutation, a new change in the cycles of life, which are not repetitive as far as the contents is concerned. There is the change of contents, the possibility to transform the contents of your life, to transubstantiate the contents of your life. And it is at those moments, you see, that you have the greatest freedom, theoretically, especially at the equinox of the fall. Because at the equinox of spring, the power of action is so predominant that while there is balancing, equilibrium, still the rush to be, the will to be, is so powerful and in a certain sense so compulsive that you have not yet any form structure, any mind form through which it can clearly express itself in form, symbols, and so on. But the equinox of fall, then you have supposedly built through the summer months and through the spring, you have built structures, you have built language, you have built symbols, which are there in yourself at any rate, which enables you, when you reach that moment of real harmonization, to not only have the experience, but to formulate the experience. And an experience that you do not formulate is never a complete experience, because it is something which takes you out of yourself, but which you cannot completely use to inspire the period that is ahead. Now, I think maybe I'd like just to read the end of the Pulse of Life there, because I think you will find perhaps in a nice way what I am speaking of there. Individual and collective are in constant cyclic interplay in the realm of parts, and that interplay produces a kind of activity in which there is the inevitability and the compulsive fate, which are born of the causal sequence of action and reaction. But in the activity in which the wholeness of the whole operates as creative spirit, there is unpredictability and originality, and Freud and from it flows a sense of freedom. Wherever the pulse of life is felt, there must be disequilibrium, conflict, strain, and the experience of suffering. But there are those who have become, through their own efforts as builder of personality and through their understanding of cyclic rhythm, vehicles for the creative action of man in capital. Because they have succeeded in taking advantage of moments of cyclic equilibrium, because they have been awake and ready when equinoctial gates opened, they have become identified with man. As there are cycles which take millions of years for their completion, so there are cycles which last only seconds of time and much less than a second. To him who can feel the rhythm of those infinitesimally small cycles, there are always and forever equinoxes. In and through him, spirit is released as an electrical alternative current, which is root and which is seed, which builds universe of form and releases conscious meanings, whence again shall be born new forms. He is root and he is seed, beginning and end, and so swiftly both that time no longer exists. He has become at once both equinoxes. He has become at once the entire zodiac. He is free. The wholeness of the whole creates eternally through him in an everlasting act of incarnation. Now, this is, as I see it, the acme, as it were, of experience of life when you can establish so much that equilibrium within yourself that at one time, almost at any time, you can release, realize this basic harmony of the opposites. And then life, as it were, universal power of life, can operate through you as a creative downflow, which is meeting, as it were, the two opposites equally balanced. Now, you have a little different picture of the cycle when you are dealing with the lunation cycle, because there you have, as I said a moment ago, the relationship between two factors moving, the moon and the sun, and you have a very concrete symbol of what that cycle means when you look at the change in the shape of the moon. Now, the whole idea there, which is perhaps the most basic factor in astrology, I suppose astrology started with the realization of the cycle of the moon and probably the effect that it had on animals and women and so on. You have there this very interesting sequence from new moon to full moon. Now, the idea there is that the moon represents the feminine polarity, receptive polarities. The sun is the releasing of power. All the energy that we have on Earth are coming from the sun. And the idea is that, of course, it's a symbol if you want, but it's probably much more than a symbol, that at new moon, the moon disappear, as it were, is in union with the sun. This is the mysterious conjunction of the two opposites, of the masculine and the feminine. And from then on to the period of the full moon, the first cycle, the first hemicycle, the waxing period of the moon distributes, as it were, to everything on Earth, the new type of energy, the new tone, which it has been pervaded with during that conjunction at the time of the new moon. And so that is why it is always said that it is better to start certain processes or to plant plants and all that while the moon is waxing, because the energies of life are expanding towards the total realization of the full moon. Now, the full moon, in a most mysterious and symbolic way, has about the same shape as the sun, of the disk of the sun. Now, when you consider that the sun is millions of times bigger than the moon and much farther than the moon, the nice little arrangement by means of which those two disks turn out to be of the same size is really something quite extraordinary. Of course, the scientists will say, oh, coincidence, but I mean, you know, some of those coincidences are really quite difficult to explain if you try to imagine what the chances there are that those two disks should not be equal. So that actually what you have there, as it were, is a situation where at the time of the full moon, you see, you have in the sky revealed the disk of the sun in such a way that man can contemplate it objectively. You cannot face the sun without being more or less blind. And therefore, this is the symbol of the fact that you cannot face completely that tremendous creative energies of life, which is symbolized by the sun, unless it has passed through all the forms which have developed to such a point where they can fully and perfectly reflect that disk of the sun, you see. And then, at the time of full moon, it is the time, as it were, of full externalization or objectivation of what was pervading humanity and the biosphere since the time of the new moon. It has reached its fullness. But as it has reached its fullness, it has become objective, you see. So what is purely subjective at the new moon becomes fully objective at the full moon. And therefore, it is why, in a certain sense, full moon has become a symbol of the fullness of consciousness and fulfillment. Because that which was started in the darkness of instinct, the beginning of the cycle, you see, is revealed then as a vision in the full moon, bringing in to the full the values of consciousness. So you have, again, in the new moon, you see, the beginning of the cycle, the alpha of the cycle, you have the fullness of intensity of the springing force of energy, sometimes bringing a certain amount of confusion in people who are born immediately after the full moon. Then through the first quarter, you have the point of the square between the sun and the moon in terms of aspect. There you have the greatest tension, but also the capacity to build the most. So that square are not at all inauspicious facts in a chart, but they represent the point at which the dynamic intensity is as rich as crest, its maximum. Also the point at which the past, the structures of the past can be completely eradicated. Because you never build, you see, on clean surfaces. Wherever you build something, there has been something before. And so in a sense, the first week of the lunation is the struggle to destroy, break down the old structures. But to do so in terms of the plan that you have unconsciously within yourself, which is definitely urging you to do certain things, even if you are not absolutely conscious of why you do it. Then as the moon grows in size, you get into what's called the gibbous moon and so on, you get closer to the realization that was that which was the blueprint at first, being more and more realized into the temple, the house. And it is the period when you begin then to try to understand what you have been doing, why you have been doing, and what is coming. And in the full moon, you are supposed to have the full vision, the full experience of what the whole cycle is about and what to do with it. And then, you see, you have mind developing. Mind which is essentially based on objectivity, which is based on the opposition between things. You cannot have mind as long as you are completely subjective about anything. It is only when you have developed a certain kind of objectivity, when the sun and the moon are as far apart as they can be facing each other and the earth is there in middle, you see. Then from the point of view of the earth, you can go back and forth between the sun and the moon. You can go back and forth between pure energy in the sun and pure form in the moon. And you can see how the two are related. And then out of that is born what we call consciousness. And then during the second phase of the moon, of the lunation cycle, the waning moon, then that vision, that understanding of the full moon is therefore, you are able to use that understanding to develop new ideas, to spread those ideas, to disseminate the consciousness and the realization which have been bequeathed to you at the full moon. And you have that cycle which leads to the last quarter. Now, at the last quarter, again, it begins to crystallize, the idea has crystallized, the vision has crystallized into a church or a dogma and so on, and there begin to be cracks appearing in the structures. What I have spoken of in my book, at the end of the book, The Lunation Cycle, is something which I think has not been very clear to many people, or at least presenting a symbolic expression of it, is the fact that we can speak of two different paths, two different ways of activity and realization, the new moon path, as it were, and the full moon path. Now, the new moon path on which most of humanity is always operating is the path of instinct, the path of unconscious and compulsive action, not entirely unconscious, but compulsive instincts. The animal operates completely in terms of a new moon path, as it were. It works completely under the compulsion of instincts. But man has the capacity to develop intelligence, to develop mind, to develop a full consciousness. And therefore, starting from that consciousness, it can operate in terms of symbol, in terms of cultural realizations, in terms of language, in terms of everything which enable him to release and to transfer whatever he has experienced in that full moon illumination upon and to other human beings. And so in a certain sense, that is what I call the full moon path, you see. And those two paths, those two different halves of the moon sun cycle, the new moon path and the full moon path, are always to some extent related, or can be related, within the human being, just as the trend towards individualization and the trend towards collectivization are also constantly related. There is never a completely different, unique way in which to operate. But there is also that possibility that the two can become integrated, that you can, in the full moon illumination, realize that it too is going to lead, on the basis of what has been understood, of what has been transferred through symbol and language and all that, that it will lead to another cycle of life. And so you have one cycle upon another cycle of life, each one becoming, as it were, the progeny of the preceding one. And there is a very interesting time at the end of the lunation cycle, which I call the balsamic moon, which is an alchemical term whose origin I don't really know about, but which represents the time which elapsed 3 days before the new moon. You see, the moon cycle, the lunation cycle, takes about 30 days. And therefore, a tenth part of it, I mentioned that 2 days ago in relation to the precessional cycle, a tenth of the end of the cycle is the seed period on which the new cycle is built. So that the tenth part of the lunation cycle, 3 days before the new moon, become, as it were, the seed time for the new lunation cycle. And it is quite interesting to see that people who are born at that time tend very often to be almost in some respect seed people. That is to say, they tend to bring in their personality the past of their groups or their race or something to some sort of a fruition, a seed realization. And there is very often in them that sense of wanting to give themselves up to the future, to become what I call seed men, sacrificing themselves, as it were, to the future civilization or the future cycle. This is, I think, a very interesting way to also, in this book, The Lunation Cycle of mine, you will see that I established 8 different types of people in terms of whether they were born at the new moon or first quarter or waxing moon or full moon or last quarter and so on. Just as people are Aries person or Leo people because they are born at a certain, in a certain phase of the year cycle, then you can speak of a new moon person or a last quarter person or a full moon person if it is born at the particular new moon, full moon, or last quarter of that, of any month cycle, which is very nice because then you have a birthday every month. And but it is not at all a joke. It is something which is really extremely important and extremely valuable, and to help you to understand some of the most psychological features of human personalities.
This is the end of the Cycles of Life, Part 2, by Dane Rudyard. The preceding audio is copyrighted by Leila Rudyard Hill and was brought to you by Rita, the Rudyard Institute for Transpersonal Activity. Learn more about Rita or contribute to the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudyard at www.rudyardinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardaudioarchives.com.